Time for our weekly Stain Gang podcast, and time to talk Midwestern State football with the head coach, Bill Maskell. I'm Pete Stein. Glad you're with us for another podcast after another Midwestern State victory. And Coach Maskell and the Mustangs doing it again. They fell behind early, but somehow find a way to come back, make adjustments. Since I started doing Midwestern State games, this has been a fairly common thread. What allows you to make these in-game adjustments and turn games around the way you did Saturday night?
I don't know. you know, I wish I would know why we start so slow. You know, our offense gets the ball and they go three plays, 9 yards, and something obviously has to do with the defense. But you know, the next time we go 70 yards, you know, so.
It does seem like the offense, in some ways, is hit or miss. Either you're three and out. I think you had 7 3 and outs Saturday night.
We did.
Or you go on these long 14, 15 play drives and score touchdowns.
You know what? It's I can't answer why, but it's frustrating. And you know, we've talked about starting faster. We've
Well, and you threw a deep ball on the very first play the other night.
Exactly, to try to generate some energy. And you know, but didn't throw it to the right guy. The guy that was the right guy was wide open. And we didn't even look that way. So had he looked that way, it would have been 7-0 within the first 10 seconds of the game. But, you know, the end result is that we ended up playing well enough in the first half and second half to go in. And I think the snap over the head, you know, really, because I think at that time the score was,
I think it was 14-10, and that gave you the lead, I think, if I remember right.
I think that's right. Matter of fact, that's exactly right. And I think that, and we knew that was going to happen because he's done it multiple times this year, and we made it a point in practice and designed the punt rush team to have people off both edges. So not necessarily were we going to block it, but when they snapped it over his head, we wanted to have somebody in position to either scoop and score, or in this case, just jump on the ball and score a touchdown. Because they had done it, I bet he 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty prevalent, and so I, you know, think about it, they were a little bit closer to the goal line, and so now the center thinks a little bit more about being on time and being perfect, and then because he's thinking about it too much, he's nervous.
Paralysis by analysis.
Yeah. So, but that was a big momentum going in at half, to be able to go up 17-10 and. Had they punted the ball and we got it back, they would have. We would have had another series, but that series, I think that we missed. They missed the field goal, and I'm trying to think how we. Oh, we got the ball back on a missed field goal. That's what it was. We had 5 plays right before, like in the last minute, and we tried to make something happen, and you know, we got a 17-yard run and a 31-yard pass
when they on that little screen passed across
when they lifted, and there just wasn't enough time to be able to get the ball back.
Help the numbers though.
Toss it in the end zone. We're really trying to just put ourselves in position to do something, and. But nonetheless, but my point I was making is that the offense had gone the last four possessions, 3 and out. And so that we were up 14-10, it really wasn't the last 4, but.
Yeah, you were down 14-10.
Yeah, we were down 14, and, I'm sorry, we were down 14-10, but you know, just the fact that we had to make a big play jump started everybody, and There's some statistics out there that says that if you score right before half, you generally are going to win the football game. That's not always true, obviously.
But I would say in a close game, that's probably pretty close to accurate, especially if you're if you get a chance to receive that second half kickoff and you can double up.
Yeah, and then we take the first possession of the second half. You know, they get the ball, and then we end up getting a field goal out of our possession. But we started off with a false start. You know, I mean, that's like we're just up and down. and the same way we practice. We were having, a pretty good practice for the first half, and the second half got sloppy, and it wasn't as good as the first half of practice for whatever reason. But that's why you try to emphasize consistency and being able to do it over and over and over again. And this generation of kids aren't used to, they got that phone that's their most prized possession has got something different on all the games and all the Instagram and all the social media that's out there. There's something every minute that they can look at that's totally different. And that's how they've been raised. And sometimes that takes away focus and attention from a task at hand, whether it be a test or an accounting procedure or line it up and remember knowing what to do on the football field.
You gave up the 67-yard run, but after that, Land, who was the third leading rusher in the conference going into that game, 19 carries for 60-some-odd yards. So after he had that one big run, he did finish with two touchdowns, but you were able to contain him. How were you able to slow him down?
Well, we went into the game thinking that they were probably we needed to stop the run, and we generally do that every week. And we were just like, and Coach Renner will tell you, we're gap conscious. And, you know, that first run, we missed a tackle. We were right there to make it for a 2 or 3 yard gain. And I think kids just playing hard and getting off blocks and running to the ball, which is what defense is all about, was huge. And
making the tackle, and I think you mentioned in the post-game show the other night, you feel like you're getting better as a tackling team.
Well, if we'll tackle high, you know, I think some the major misses that we have had in open field have been kids going down on the ankles, and they're just not strong enough to make full contact to drive a kid backwards, and so they lose him, and they're just like a guy running right over you. So we've emphasized tackling in practice, and we've emphasized it with the players that they've got to wrap up, and you know, hopefully this week we'll be better tacklers than we were a week ago.
Well, and I again going back to the postgame show, you mentioned that was your best football game. One, do you still feel that way? And two, a question I asked you Saturday night, but I'd like to ask it again, is do you feel like you're getting better every week and that you're playing your best football entering these final 2 weeks?
Probably yes to both. Was it a complete game? It was our most complete game. You know, offensively, we threw the ball better than we ran it. We didn't turn any over, and we got 4 turnovers on defense and gave up a 67-yard run and a 27-yard pass. And special teams weren't anything great, but we were, you know, we get a punt blocked. We get a turnover on the kickoff cover team, and then we got 2 interceptions. So it kind of outweighs itself. The big thing offensively going in was not to turn the ball over. If we can protect, you know, don't beat ourselves. And if we can protect the ball and the quarterback, check it down if things weren't there. And I think Dylan did a good job of that.
It seemed like the short passing game was what really was working for you Saturday night.
Well, they were lifting with their coverage, and Then they went to man under, which is a, and we felt like they're holding. You probably saw me on the field many times about trying to get the
officials. I did see you have a pretty long conversation with an official, I think, during a timeout.
Yeah. You know, don't get me started on officiating. You know, those guys.
Did you see the outfit Jerry Jones wore for Halloween?
Officials?
He dressed up as a blind referee.
Yeah, well, he got his point across, that's for sure. No matter what level, the coaches are never going to excite.
They're never happy with officiating.
There's somebody sent me, maybe when I first got here, and it had an official was sitting in a chair at home. Well, he was getting chewed out by a coach. It showed him getting chewed out by a coach. And then it had him sitting in a rocker at home and had his wife in his ear getting chewed out. And so it looked like he got practice, basically. He's used to getting chewed out, so when he got into game time, it didn't bother him.
It takes a special kind of guy to be an official, sure. I also noticed, speaking of Halloween, I noticed you had red hair on Halloween.
I did. I told the team Friday night after we beat Western Oregon I would dye my hair maroon. And, you know, I don't know if that jump-started us or not, but it was, you know, conversation after the game, and I don't think anybody paid attention to it, you know, during the game or prior to the game, but after the game, and we did.
They remembered after the game.
They remembered that, and you know, I was asked, we said, oh, we'll see you Monday, you're going to have maroon hair, and I said, yep. They were disappointed that it wasn't permanent.
But it's, I was going to say, it's not maroon now.
No,
I'm kind of disappointed.
I don't know, my wife has got something she puts in the maroon, and she was dressed up as Cruella. I saw her,
yeah.
Yeah. So,
is Halloween a big deal in your family?
For my wife it is. You know? My daughter, who had just had her first child a year ago on October 30th, but they apparently, I'm sure they dressed their youngin' up and went out and did whatever they did, but they're not going to. She tell my wife that we're not going to buy all these decorations to put up for Halloween. So, Halloween was never a big deal until I met my wife, and then, you know, about Christmas and birthdays and Halloween and Easter, and all those are she celebrates every one of them. And I wasn't, growing up, I didn't have that opportunity to do all that, so it was never a big
deal. Well, it's in the middle of football season, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, too, you look, most people couldn't get away with that. You look pretty natural with that maroon hair.
Yeah.
I saw you, and then I saw pictures. It looked pretty good, Coach.
Yeah, so you think I'd dye my hair
permanent. Yeah. I was wondering, too. Were you you weren't a redhead, were you?
No.
Okay.
No, I was dark or maroon, brown.
Because since I've known you,
I've had gray hair.
It's been gray.
That's what happens when you get old, is you start getting more gray hair.
I noticed that when I got my hair cut the other day, my barber was sprinkling gray hair all over the place. I don't know where that was coming from.
Yeah. Well, I look at myself in the mirror and I don't see gray. It's all brown, but then when you get your hair cut, it's all gray.
Yeah, it's all gray when they cut it. I don't know what happens. So this week you're headed to South Texas to take on a Texas A&M Kingsville team that has been pretty much right in the thick of the Lone Star Conference race, though they lost to Angelo State and then last week lost to Central Washington, so they've got a couple of losses. They're not it looks to me like they're doing it the old-fashioned way. They're playing defense and running the football.
They're,
is that what you see on tape?
100% correct. They've got a big offensive line. They got a transfer running back from the University of Texas that's pretty special. And they've got a mobile quarterback. He's not very tall, but he's athletic and can run. And so he adds a piece to the puzzle by being able to keep the ball after he fakes the ball to the running back. And defensively, they're well coached all the way across the board, and I think that they're well disciplined, and I think they're playing hard. And you know, when you haven't won let's take the Phillies, for example, and I don't know what they've done in baseball up until now. But if you know, you get rolling and you really, because of momentum, become better than what you really are. And that might have been the case with us last year for a while. You know, we were a good football team. Well, I don't think we were a great team, but you know, our kids believed they were pretty damn great. And we played hard and made plays when we had to, and probably beat some people that because of the momentum. And I think that's, you know, a little bit of what's happened to Kingsville. Now, don't take away anything from their coaching or their playing and their defense, and their special teams are good. You know, they're doing a really good job down there. And I told the head coach, I said, yeah, I'm going to vote for you for coach of the year. I mean, anybody that can – he's 5-0 in the conference until these last 2 weeks, and they were probably predicted ninth or how many ever teams we got. They were, like, near the next to last.
Yeah, I mean, well, they had been – and I think the Phillies is a great example because the Phillies used to be a dominant team in the National League. They fired their manager earlier this year, and then they were able to get it turned around, and now they're playing in the World Series. Kingsville's been a dominant team in the Lone Star Conference, were for a long time. When I first started covering the conference, they were the team to beat.
Yeah.
And, of course, Ron Harms, the all-time winningest coach, but they've fallen on some hard times in recent years. They haven't been as good. And, you know, for a couple of years, I was guilty of saying, hey, Kingsville, they're going to get it turned around. And then they never did really get it turned around, but it seems like they have now.
Well, I'm anxious to see what kind of crowd they have. And I think anytime you get turned around, then you've hit on some players that you didn't think you were going to get, or they're better than what you thought they were going to be, and then they're playing at a high level, and they're not making a lot of mistakes. And that they set the tone. They played North American, and they played Sol Ross, two teams they probably were going to be better than, but they had success. And then I think they play West Texas and went up to West Texas and beat them.
When they got all of our attention, too.
And they've done that every week, and their games have been close, but they've...
Some of that is the nature that they play, the way they play the game. They're not going to really be in high-scoring shootout games, right? Is that a fair assessment?
I think that they're going to grind the ball offensively and play good defense to keep you out of the end zone, and so it's... There haven't been a... I think somebody scored... Maybe it was Angelo.
I think Angelo put in the mid-30s on him, yeah.
But all their, even Permian Basin was 13-10, and Permian Basin was ahead. And they threw an interception late in the game that they didn't need to throw, or Permian Basin threw the interception that they didn't even need to throw the ball. Because I think at that time they might have been ahead 10-7. I can't remember exactly, but
yeah.
So bottom line is I think they're a very good football team that's playing at a very high level, and our players need to, and I think they see that watching the tape, and but at the same time I think our players have realized that we've gotten better the last couple of weeks, and if we continue to grow and mature as a team, that, you know, that'd be a pretty good ball game.
So you are, and we talked about this a lot early in the year, but you're seeing that? You're seeing your team grow and mature? I know you were really emphasizing that early in the year.
Yeah, I think we've made some strides. You know, the thing that we've done from day one is we've been hardworking. Let me take that back. We've played really hard, and we've never given up. What we haven't done has been as productive or execute, and we've been really inconsistent on all three phases of the game, and we just haven't had it consistently. But when we're rolling, and like last week, we had a 93-yard drive and a 84-yard drive and a 75-yard drive, and we had I had that drive in the second half that was 70 yards on our second possession. First one was 50-some yards. The second possession was almost 80 yards.
And you're doing this over the last month. You're doing this pretty consistently, going on these long drives where you're taking a lot of time off the clock, running a lot of plays, And that's not, it's not that easy to do. And you're making it, you're doing it pretty consistently, well, in terms of week in and week out.
We did it this week, passing the ball. We had a hard time running the ball. You know, those guys were bigger than us and probably stronger, and we couldn't get movement to get create gaps. And we kind of felt that way going in, and then we got into it and saw what they were doing and, you know, tried to throw the ball a little bit more. And if we had we not been as successful throwing the ball, I don't know that the outcome would be the same that it is, because that – by throwing the ball without a turnover, and we had two fumbles that weren't caused, it was us causing a fumble on offense, that we would have been just fine with, you know, the I know I got lost my train of thought there for a minute, but there was concern about us not being able to keep up with what we were doing. Am I still lost my train of thought here as I'm speaking?
No, you're good.
Because I just started drifting, thinking about something else. But let's talk about something else.
Yeah,
I'll come back.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think, given the success you had running the ball before last week, teams, that they're going to try to take that away from you, aren't they?
Absolutely. You know, I think we've run the ball better than what we were anticipating going into the year. But that was a main focus going into the year, was to be able to run the ball better than we did last year.
Is that because of a new offensive line or young running backs? Why weren't you expecting to run the ball as well as you have?
Well, we've got Trey Hempstead had been a guard his entire career here. Was a starter last year at guard. Now he's a starter at center.
How's he doing?
Doing well. He's probably our best offensive lineman, playing very well. But his snaps are erratic at times.
Yeah, okay, sometimes they're down at the knees.
Yeah, we've had bad snaps during the game. Or they're right or they're left.
Right.
We've had Gill was a starter last year. On the other side, Zamora hardly played at all last year. Now, 2 years ago in 19, he was a starter. But in 21, he was just sitting back there watching the clock. Mark Burke, the left tackle, didn't play at all last year. Been with us for 3 years and didn't play. So there were, and then Aaron Davis had been with us 5 years and hadn't had overall 50 snaps over those 3 years that he was in position to play. So we're going in with a whole new group of guys, same offensive line coach, but bringing a new coordinator, and he's more balanced in his way of thinking. And the last year we were more pass thinking than run thinking. You know, and then we started the year off with, you know, Dylan hadn't practiced enough to, I think he's earned the starting spot based upon his last two games. And I think Nico has really earned the right to come off the bench. I mean,
it looks like you're using him in short yardage situations. I know you've put him in at the goal line. You've put him in on 2-point plays. Is that kind of his role now?
Well, for right now, yeah. I mean, he is definitely a contributor to our success and the attitude that he embraces day to day. And he's an upbeat player and he's an upbeat person, and he practices that way. And you would never know that he, by his body language or his attitude, that he was benched, because he's doing the same things positively that he did when he was the starter. He might even be more so now, and it might be a situation where coming off the bench is a better role for him. You know, we'll see this weekend, but and Dylan might be a situation where being the starter is a better role. I mean, he's had two decent football games, and I thought Dylan threw the ball better this past week, and but he's also done that in practice. So he's made, and we just have gotten better amongst a tremendous amount of injuries and trying to overcome those guys. You know, it seems like we lose somebody every practice and every game, and then all of a sudden you got to redo your whole.
It seems like you've been able to keep that offensive line together, though.
Yeah,
those five guys have pretty much been there.
Yeah,
I would say what 85-90% of the time.
Yeah, or more. I mean, they're I can't remember the kid's name that one of our opponents had a kid that started, you know, every game and played every play, and I can't remember that kid's name, but those five that are playing are the same five that we started with, and neither one of them, any of them, have gotten any serious type of injuries, or they couldn't.
Knock
do.
On wood.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then you've got a freshman running back who's come on like gangbusters.
Well, Peyton Shaw is.
Oh, you got two running backs that have come on like gangbusters. Because I was thinking of Cross.
Cross is. You know, Richard last year is a true freshman, and he's had a good year. He didn't play particularly well last week.
So, is Shaw a running back? I know he was listed as a safety.
He was.
So
we started practice with him. If he was over on the defensive side and he continued to do what he was doing, he'd probably be starting somewhere on defense.
Is there any chance he'd be a two-way player for you?
No. I think he's – Yeah, although he doesn't need a lot of reps, he's a pretty smart, savvy football player. I don't see that this year anyway. I mean, down the road, he might be a guy that's got the intelligence to carry himself better than what we are doing right now.
But right now, he's a running back.
Yeah,
that's where you see him.
And we'll try to, you know, our freshman running back, we signed a big kid that isn't ready, and then we signed a little dart water bug kid that probably is ready. And
you like to have that variation of styles?
Well, I think you have to. Not every running back is going to be a power or a slasher or a physical back. If you had all little backs, then think about what would you be doing on the goal line or
right.
Pass protection. And when you go on the goal line, you want to have a bigger back. So that's why we've always had Kennedy. Well, he wasn't ready. He wasn't available last week. So, you know, we're hopeful that we've got a package together on the goal line that you can use a bigger back. But I think you need a bigger back, and you need smaller ones too. There's a place for both
right.
of them. And in college football today, I just don't see you taking a running back and traveling with him 20, 25 times, expect him to be the same guy at game eight.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we've kind of been a running back by committee.
And the running backs have embraced that, it seems. It seems like it's working.
Well, you know, I think they're all good friends, and they're all competitors, and they're all playing pretty good. So they all, in their minds, they're all, things are good.
So it seems like the key for this Kingsville game, based on what you've told me, is they're not going to beat themselves, so you can't beat yourself. You're going to have to play a clean game, it sounds
There's
like.
There's no doubt. But, you know, in the officiating, I don't think we've ever had over 7 fouls this whole year. Now, if you look at it from a coach's standpoint, there's probably a lot more that aren't being called. Good for us and bad for them, but some of those calls are, you wonder why they're not being called. And then you see some of them called. Last week, Harvey caught that pass right before half. There were 27 yards or 37 right down in front of our bench, about the 12, 8, 10-yard line in there. And he didn't catch it. He took it away from that guy, and they gave him the catch. But then the side judge said, well, he was covering up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the tape, and there's no – they're both off the line. I mean, there's no reason for them to be –
To throw that flag.
Maybe the outside guy was on and Harvey was back, but – they were a legal formation, and they were legal, and they didn't want to hear anything of it.
I'll tell you this about Arvey, and I think I mentioned this to Coach Miller and not you. That guy is not afraid to go over the middle.
No, he's tough.
That guy has got courage, man.
He's a tough kid, and he knows he's tough, and because he's tough, he's always going to be beat up. You know, I mean, he's got a little body that's all rocked up and strong, and he's not afraid to get in the middle of things and fight and scratch and claw.
Oh my gosh! It seems like every week I see him go over the middle and take a big hit, he's pops right back up and he's there, man. I've got so much admiration for that guy.
Yeah, he's a tough kid. He's always been a tough kid. No, but we lost him. I mean, we've been battling him. We missed him for a game or two this year because of a back injury, or he's wearing a concussion pad running over his helmet. He's got as hard as he goes, he's going to be put in tough situations. And in those tough situations, you're going to get batted around a little bit. And
for sure.
You know, that's why he's so vulnerable to hurting himself, because he does go hard. And he made a block on a kickoff return a couple weeks ago. I mean, the guy is running down as hard as he can, and Arvey pops him and knocks the guy flying. And he didn't have the momentum that kid had. He had probably better leverage, but not the fired up goal. So Darby's a play hard guy, there's no doubt.
Yeah, it's fun watching him play. Fun watching the Mustangs the last couple of weeks. Hopefully we can keep it up in Kingsville this weekend, Coach.
That's the plan.
All right, that's Bill Maskell joining us on a Stang Gang podcast. Glad you could be with us. Hope you'll be with us again next week. I'm Pete Stein with Coach Bill Maskell. This is the Stang Gang podcast.